Welcome to A Couple Cooks, a show celebrating the joy of home cooking. I'm Sonia Overheiser.
And I'm Alex.
And we're a husband and wife who love to cook.
Join us each week for stories, seasonal recipes, and inspiration for cooking at home and eating well.
For more, you can find us on our blog, acouplecooks.com.
Welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast. We're glad you're here.
We're back with another episode. And before we start, we were wondering if you could do us a favor. We would love it if you could leave us an iTunes rating or tell a friend. Let them know if you like the A Couple Cooks podcast.
So let's get down to this episode. What do we got?
So today we have a great guest. Her name is Carla Hall. And if you don't know her by that name, you might know her by the words Hootie Hoo.
Her signature catchphrase from when she was a contestant on Top Chef.
We've also got a great recipe that's flavorful and inspired by somewhere across the world.
And we're talking about how to use the beautiful spices of the world to help put healthier food on your table and keep it interesting.
Let's get to it.
So what's our recipe for this week?
We've got a cauliflower and tomato coconut curry.
Yum.
So it hails from India. Neither of us have been to India, but we've created this curry that's a riff on Indian flavors. We've got some curry powder, garam masala, cumin, and cayenne.
Hold on.
Yes?
So you have curry powder and garam masala?
We do.
I don't know a lot about Indian spices, but that confuses me.
So they're both technically curry powder. Garam masala is just a different type of curry powder. It's a little bit sweeter. So it gives a good blend of spices. And all curry powders are different. They have different blends of spices. So you can try out different ones at the store and find a one that you enjoy.
Or if you're really feeling wild, make your own. Put that mortar and pestle to good use.
So we combine these spices with some vegetables. We've got sweet potato, cauliflower, chickpeas, and spinach, and tomatoes. So a lot of nutrients, and then pour in some coconut milk, simmer all of that together, and it makes for a very homey, comfort food type meal. But it's full of just delicious vegetables instead of the typical carbs and cheese comfort food.
Now, can you read that recipe list to me one more time in 1.5 speed?
What?
You know, you've been listening to your podcast at 1.5 speed, so.
It's true. I don't know if any of you podcast listeners out there know about the 1.5 speed on your podcast app. You can get a lot more podcasts in less time by just turning up the speed. Sounds a little bit faster, just a little bit like this, but you'll get used to it.
It's amazing what your brain can handle. Just throw at it. Anyway, back to this recipe. We've had a lot of positive feedback from our readers on the blog, and we think you'll really enjoy it.
We have. So check it out. We'll put the recipe in the show notes. And now, without further ado, we will bring you Carla Hall. As we mentioned, she was a finalist in the show Top Chef. She has her own restaurant. Right now, she is a host of the ABC talk show The Chew. And she's just an overall wonderful person. We know you'll love her, Carla Hall. All right. So, Carla Hall, thank you so much for coming and being on the A Couple Cooks podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So your latest cookbook is called Carla's Comfort Foods, Favorite Dishes from Around the World. So today we wanted to talk to you a little bit about global inspired cooking, since that is something that's near and dear to our hearts as well. I was paging through your cookbook and I just love to see all the variety, Spanish, Italian, Greek, Middle Eastern, African. You have all sorts of cuisines represented.
And I figured that was probably backed up by some international travel. So we were wondering if you could tell us about a visit to a country that inspired a recipe or a cuisine in your book.
Well, I have to tell you, all of it, I mean, obviously, you know, books aren't a big seller these days, unfortunately. So that would be a very expensive trip. So I didn't go to India, even though Indian food is some of my favorite foods. But what I did do in DC, we have a huge Indian community. And so part of the discovery was talking to people who make this food. So I just want to make that distinction. And my love of doing international food did come from travel, because I modeled. And so I was in Italy, I was in London, I was in France, and so, and all of these different places. So I love to travel. So some of it does come from actual experiences in the country. But part of my love of this really comes from wanting to show people how, by accepting them wherever they are, is very powerful. And I think food is the one place we allow people to be different. We don't say to another culture, why can't your food be like mine? I mean, I think that, you know, we do that to people every day. We do, you know, you don't look like me. Your nose isn't like mine. Your hair isn't like mine. Your skin color isn't like mine. Your sexual orientation isn't like mine. Your religion isn't like mine. So I don't like you. But I don't think we really do that with food.
Absolutely. Yeah. I saw one of the quotes in your book. You said, I love how home-cooked food works in uniting people. That really stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So do you have a specific country that you visited that's a favorite of yours, or a specific region of the world?
I recently went to Mozambique. And Mozambique is in the south of, is in the southern tip of Africa, and it's near South Africa. And I was struck by just the similarities in food and what I wish I could have done. And there's a lot of Indian influence. There's the Portuguese influence. What I wish I could have done was to show how some of the things that have come over from the continent of Africa, and it depends on what part, but to the States, and how we have changed that food. And I wish I had thought to do this and by giving them back, or boomeranging back, some of the dishes. So they do what's called a shima, and it's kind of like grits or fufu. It's cassava. And they make this mush and they eat their stew over it. Well, after doing my book and talking to people, I realized that grits are kind of like that, or hot water cornbread can kind of be like that, but we actually fry it. So I would have loved to have taken their shima and shown them how, at least in the South, we treat this. Well, it's cornmeal and they use cassava, and I could have fried it to show them a new dish, but it's very similar to what they're doing. And then, and also they were cooking outside. So there were these outdoor kitchens, but they were so clean and so, and all the love and the way that they treated the garlic, right? By mashing the garlic and with salt, exactly like we would do it in a professional kitchen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's a neat memory. So we're into healthy cooking, Alex and I, we eat a lot of vegetables. And do you feel that cooking in a global style can lead towards healthier cooking?
I think so. I think that especially with vegetables, you can add whatever spice blend. And one of the things about my book is that I have the spice chart, which is one of my favorite parts of the book, because you may make a particular dish, and let's say you have, I don't know, rice and tomatoes or whatever, and you say, okay, I'm going to make it with Mexican flavors, and I'm going to use cumin, and I'm going to use oregano, and I'm going to use maybe some chili. But then you can also change it and make it Indian. And I think the vegetables become the palate, and the spices basically change it. And a lot of times people will say, I don't like vegetarian food, but as a caterer, I, and as a recovering caterer, I know that whenever, I'm still recovering. I know that when I would put vegetables out, everybody came to get them. And it's the one thing that you can have lots of little bit. It's all about the sides. Even in my new restaurant, it's all about the sides. You have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And it's easy to change the palate of a vegetable than sometimes it is a meat. I mean, obviously with chicken or whatever, but you can kind of explore spices a little more, I think, with vegetables.
Right. And I feel that when you have so many different flavors going on, the variety helps to really satisfy with vegetables alone, making your food a little bit healthier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and that's why in Carla's Comfort Food, I spent a whole chapter on doing vegetables. And I took my favorite vegetables. So there's an eggplant chapter. I mean, there's an eggplant section, and I take eggplant and I do it three different ways using different spice blends and then or different cuisines. And each recipe has a little icon as to where I am borrowing that flavor palette from. And then there's corn, and then there are peas, and then there are green beans. And the reason I did this is because I said, if I'm doing it three different ways and I have 18 different cuisines in the spice chart, that means that you can choose any of these other ones to try to become more familiar with different spices. I think we kind of get stuck in ruts with recipes, and we forget that we can actually play. And another way that you can use, for instance, the spice chart is to decide what new cuisine you may want to try. And so you have all these different spices and aromatics, or which ones you want to build in your pantry.
Absolutely. And I'll explain a little bit to our listeners that the International Spice Chart that Carla's talking about is a chart with a bunch of different international cuisines and then a column for each type of ingredient, spice, aromatic that goes along with that cuisine. And I will say, Carla, I loved that. I found it really helpful. And a lot of things we kind of knew innately just from cooking in different styles, but it's great to have it all on just a couple pages.
Yeah, but I think also the other reason, and what I was thinking about when I did that chart, absolutely, there are things that aren't on there. But what I wanted to do is to make this spice chart accessible. So whether you're in the middle of America or you're in an international city where you actually can go to a store where they sell a lot of international spices and everything that you may not be able to get. I mean, you can always get things online, but I wanted people to feel like there were, you know, the different ingredients. It's just how you put them together is what makes it that particular cuisine.
So let's change gears just a little bit. I know you've probably told this story quite often, but you have an accounting degree. How did you end up as a chef?
By the grace of God. I'm like, please, Lord, take me out of accounting. I really think it's because I was afraid of being 40 and hating my job. I did not like accounting. I wanted to major in theater, and I ended up not doing it. And I went a safe route. I was kind of thinking about getting out of school and getting a job. And yes, one should, but everything about my being and person said, you should not be an accountant. Although there's a part of my brain that loves puzzles and figuring things out. So I love numbers, but I did not like working in that at all. So I left accounting. I was working for Price Waterhouse, and I went on to, I left my job and I went on to France, and I started modeling, and it was over there where the socialization takes place in the kitchen that I sort of fell in love with food. And, you know, as they say, I didn't look back, and the rest is history.
Wow, that's an amazing story. And we loved seeing you on Top Chef. It was just so fun. Your personality is just so vibrant. And I think you've been a huge inspiration to so many people all over the country.
You'd be vibrant too if you left the job that you hated. Yay! I mean, every day that I'm not doing something that I don't like, I am pretty excited about it. So
So I wanted to ask you as well, you mentioned your trip to Mozambique a little bit previously. Mm-hmm. I know you went with an organization called CARE.
Yes.
And you went on a trip to learn more about combating hunger and malnutrition. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about what you took away from that visit?
I think it's about empowering people. And so it was a chef's delegate, and I went with Spike Mendelsohn, Kat Cora, and Antoni LaFossa from Top Chef, and myself. And it was really about going into these fishing communities and showing them the sustainable ways to fish, and going into an agriculture village and showing them the sustainable ways to grow their food. And the thing that I walked away from this was, as Americans, as a country that does so much for other countries, and we, you know, we send food all over the world, would it not be better to spend our resources and actually teach these people how they should farm and how they should fish? And it's the whole adage of, you know, give a man a fish sandwich and they can eat for a day, but teach them the fish they can eat for a lifetime. And I just feel like that is the way you can really help people. And it's so empowering. And the people that we met were just so incredibly beautiful and inviting us into their home and basically letting us eat first, even though I knew that the kids were so incredibly hungry. I mean, lethargic almost, to the point of just being really hungry. But they had guests and we were their guests. And it was eye-opening. It was such a great experience.
That sounds so powerful. It's amazing you got to do that.
Yeah, I'll go back in a heartbeat. I loved doing that work.
Can you take me with you next time?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would love
Come
that.
On, girly.
All right. Well, I know that our listeners are dying to hear your signature phrase. I'm sure you have to do it often, but can
Hoodie
you give it to us? Yeah. Hootie hoo.
Actually, I could have been polite and let you finish the question. Hootie hoo.
Well, Carla Hall, thank you so much for joining us. It's been inspiring and a pleasure.
Thank you so much. And I wish you all the best.
We could talk about international flavors and travel-inspired food all day long.
I think we should.
Let's keep going. So we cook frequently international styles of food. Alex, what would you say would be our top styles?
Well, we do a ton of Mediterranean, Spanish, and Italian cooking. And we do a lot of Mexican, kind of Latin flavors. I don't know if we're really strict or authentic with those, but we just love those flavors and those foods from those regions.
Right, like mixing up some cumin and hot sauce and cilantro for a Latin flair. Maybe doing some olive oil, parsley, rosemary, that kind
of thing. Fresh herbs from the garden.
Yeah, exactly, for the Mediterranean style.
I think it's just a great way to take a healthy meal and add a lot of flavor without any kind of negative effect. Especially if you think about those Latin foods, you add some garlic, some hot sauce, some cilantro. Adds a lot of flavor that doesn't really have any calories or anything else bad for you.
Exactly. And it can also help to just keep your mind engaged. I find when I'm cooking in different international styles, it keeps me wanting to eat the food instead of kind of getting bored with food and wanting to tend towards unhealthier foods to compensate for that.
I know that taking lunch food to work is something that a lot of us struggle with. We get bored by eating the same thing every day, and this is a great way to mix it up. You can take even the same chickpea salad and do Latin flavors one day, Asian flavors one day, Italian flavors one day, and really mix it up and have some fun with it.
And this is an excuse to travel. Exactly. Not like you needed one. But it's the winter, and I'm dreaming of some travel. But as always, when we travel, we come away inspired and excited to try new foods. Last year, we had the ability to travel to Greece, and we were just inspired by the fresh flavors, the Greek salad with tomatoes, onions, cucumber, olives, feta cheese, lemon juice, just such bright and vibrant flavors.
And what I really loved about that trip, well, one was the views. Everything tastes good when you have the views like that. But
oh, yes.
You walk into a tiny little grocery store and there's 15 types of olives, there's 6 types of feta cheese and 100 other cheeses that look similar but have different names. And you just really get to explore the variety that kind of an international cuisine has to offer. It's not just the one thing you might find in the menu at a Greek restaurant here, but this whole just deep variety of foods.
Right. And then contrast that with a couple years ago, we had the ability to travel to Cambodia, which is a completely different experience. The market there was crazy. Just so many sights and smells.
Hold on. Slow down. Just walk us through what that was like going to the market in Cambodia.
Oh, gosh. So there's tons of different vendors and all sorts of foods, from frogs to snakes to pigs just being butchered right in front of you. The smells are incredibly exotic. There's tropical fruits. The colors are just vibrant. It's a sight.
A sight indeed. People everywhere, giant bags of rice, flies kind of buzzing around, people running in and out, exchanging cash, bartering constantly. It is quite the overwhelming sensory experience.
And we learned about some really new ingredients when we went to Cambodia. Lemongrass is something we hadn't used before, but it's a really citrusy type of herb that you can put in as an aromatic. We've used it in tom yum soup, along with galangal, which is a root that also flavors Asian cuisine, Southeast Asian cuisine, things that aren't really typical to our Midwestern diet.
You also ate a tarantula, if I remember right.
This is true.
Not typical.
I did eat a tarantula. It was deep fried, and I ate only the legs, so they kind of tasted a little bit like potato chips, I would say. I was not ready to eat the body. That was a little too much for me. But they're salty. They're pretty good. Protein.
And one thing from that trip was it not just the flavors, but just the style of eating in Cambodia for breakfast. You don't eat something sweet or a bowl of cereal. You just eat a bowl of soup. And it's warm and it's savory and it's kind of satisfying.
So we could go on and on about different cuisines that we love. And I'm going to have a post up on our website with just some different ideas from each type of cuisine that we love, adapted for the American kitchen. So they're not too hard, but they include the different spices and aromatics and ingredients that come from around the world. So check out our website, acouplecooks.com, for that post. And we'd love to hear from you. What are your favorite international foods or cuisines? We're always looking for ideas. So let us know either at our website or on our Instagram. All right, I'm totally inspired to go make some ethnic cuisine.
Before you do, you probably need to go clean up those international spices in the spice drawer, because we still haven't gotten around to that.
Good point. You heard our last episode on minimalism. We talked about cleaning out our spice drawers in the new year, and we have not done that yet.
So I'm going to force you to eat boring Midwestern meat and potatoes until you get around to cleaning that spice drawer.
All right, it's a deal. And we hope you've enjoyed our show today. Let us know if you're inspired to make any
hoodie-hoo
international foods, or say hoodie-hoo, especially if you're inspired to have a dinner party. I'm kind of thinking about that idea. Pick a random country and have each guest bring an entree or a side or a dessert from that region.
And watch a movie from that region.
Maybe a little staycation.
Uh-oh.
All right. We hope you've enjoyed our show today. For more recipes and inspiration, see our website, acouplecooks.com, or visit us on Instagram @acouplecooks.